Casual Closeness by Cream Moon, a Merlin Modern AU, read by Momotastic. It's not as though I'm attached. He groaned, pressing his forehead harder into the crook of his elbow. It's absurd, just... Close as day, Merlin supplied, nipping at the back of his neck as their pace picked up, the obscene slap of their hips meeting making Arthur redder in the face. Exactly. Same for me. Long fingers wrapped around his shaft and squeezed as the words left Merlin's mouth, ghosting hotly over the shell of his ear. It's not a habit if it's convenient. Exactly, Arthur repeated, reaching back and grabbing at one side of Merlin's bony hips, pulling him in harder still and completely throwing off their tempo. Fuck, he just needed a rough fuck, a quickie even. Merlin was just there, an accessible dick. All he wanted to do was get off. That was it. It would have been less weird if they hadn't known each other first. Friend of a friend sort of thing, always seeing each other at functions, but never really bothering to connect. They were happy with the space. Merlin thought Arthur was kind of a dick. Arthur thought Merlin was a loudmouth. The whole pattern started when Arthur moved into Merlin's neighborhood, his building less than a block away. Then the following Friday, both happened to be looking for someone. After fruitlessly searching for a half hour, Arthur found that Merlin popped into his feet. After that, he turned his brain off and took a shot in the dark. He wasn't going another night without a little human contact. Your dick better not be small. It took less than a minute for Merlin to respond. You'll do. Somehow, they'd ended up getting off in Merlin's stairwell, then Arthur's the next week, around 1 a.m, something secretly neither man wanted to admit to being vaguely uncomfortable but turned on by. For 2 weeks, they held off before Merlin broke and messaged Arthur a series of clearly perverse emojis along with the time. It went on like that for 3 months, until... Have you and Merlin become friends or something? What? Arthur asked as he pulled the glasses down so they could get around to mixing the drinks. No, why? Gwen raised an eyebrow at him when he looked back, Gwen scrubbing a hand across his bearded chin as he considered Arthur carefully. You seem awfully comfortable all of a sudden. A pause. Also, you didn't have to ask where he keeps his tumblers. Shoulders tense, Arthur looked back at him, trying to maintain a blank expression. Glancing down, he noticed that the number on Gwen's rugby jersey was all wrong. Raising his eyes back up, he pointedly furrowed his brow. Why is it you're wearing Lance's jersey? Gwen pursed his lips, opened his mouth, then closed it and left the kitchen. Arthur stared blankly into the middle drawer of Merlin's dresser, leaning heavily against the edge as he wondered at the contents. What are you doing back here? Suddenly Merlin was there, frowning at him. Are you that sloshed already? We're dating, Arthur stated, looking him dead in the eye as he scrubbed one hand earnestly through his hair. Merlin squeaked, looking at him like he was nuts. What? I have a drawer here. He tapped his index finger against the soft contents of the drawer. Shirts, pants, and jeans. All his and all there because things had gotten wildly out of control. You have a toothbrush at my place. Merlin scoffed, face flushed. Oh, come off it. Merlin, we're fucking dating. No, we're fucking, he replied, face redder than it had been before. You're the one who said it was all about convenience. You agreed. So we're not dating, Merlin huffed, finally shutting the door behind him so no one could walk in on the conversation. My drawer says otherwise. Arthur muttered, idly pushing the clothing back and forth. Really, it wasn't just this. They were practically in each other's pockets with how much time they were spending together. At this point, messaging on Grindr felt like a half-assed pretense. "You're having a drunk crisis about nothing. Go drink some water, Claude Pole." "You're fucking dating."
"I know,"
Arthur said morosely, nursing a beer as he and Gawain sat staring out from Merlin's balcony.
"How'd we end up in the same boat?"
"Because Lance is ashamed of me, and you fuckers are too stubborn," Gawain replied, tone low as he raised his bottle to his lips. "Or at least Merlin is, since you've gone and admitted it."
"I didn't want to,"
he muttered, picking at the label on his bottle absently.
But you noticed. And I've got a drawer."
Gawain whistled low, his expression an attempt at mockery, but his gaze looking more depressed than anything.
"A whole drawer, huh?"
A few Sunday mornings later, finds Arthur laying yet again in Merlin's bed. Merlin curled up against his back as he contemplated the series of choices yet again. Despite the revelation, Merlin had still pointedly ignored the fact. They continued to meet up, have it off, and then hang around. Sometimes they even went out. They were practically going out on dates. And yet they were going nowhere. Arthur couldn't figure out why that hurt so much. Eventually, Lance and Gawain broke the news that they were an item. Somehow, only Arthur had picked up on it, everyone else in their group agog.
"It just seems so unlikely,"
Morgana said conversationally, gesturing vaguely with her glass towards the two across the room. They had all gathered at her ridiculous penthouse for an honest-to-God dinner party. She'd even included a dress code. Merlin looked heartbreakingly good in a dress shirt and slacks, his violet sleeves rolled up to the elbows, one hand in his pocket and the other lazily holding his own glass to one side as he chatted with Percy. Arthur took a sip of his whiskey, closing his eyes as he mentally attempted to banish the heavy feeling that had settled on his sternum.
"Honestly, I'm shocked Lance gave him a chance with what a flake he's known to be. Didn't he fuck off on an ex to go to France for a few weeks?"
"Italy,"
he sighed. Morgana just giggled softly at the correction.
"People change, Morgana."
"Not overnight,"
she shot back, tucking her hair behind her ear as she lifted her glass to her lips.
"I give them a month."
It had already been 4, he almost said so, but that would be skirting too close to home.
Whatever,
he said instead, dismissing the line of conversation as best he could, pointedly looking out the window instead of where he really wanted. The drawer has become a drawer and a half, along with a spare toothbrush, toothpaste, deodorant, shampoo, and conditioner. Merlin still primly has only a spare toothbrush at his place. Arthur wonders dismally if Merlin is simply not bothered by space invasion, instead of his presence actually being welcomed. They're still messaging through Grindr. It's been 6 months. It comes to him one late afternoon when he walks through Merlin's door with 2 heavy bags of takeout, his stomach woefully empty and grumbling as he crosses the threshold. Merlin's clearly just showered, his hair sticking a bit to his neck and his ears just a little more noticeable with how his hair is less fluffed. He's pink-cheeked and bright-eyed, holding the door open for him. It's like he's been kicked in the chest, suddenly breathless as Merlin eyes him curiously. "Something wrong?"
"Oh yes, something's very wrong," Arthur screams internally. "I'm in love with you."
Work keeps him on other ends of the block for 2 weeks before Arthur gets a push message notification that consists of an eggplant, winky face, and peach emoji.
Arthur rubs at his eyes, takes a deep breath, and sends back a response before pocketing his phone. Off in 20. When Merlin slides inside him, he has a hard time breathing, shutting his eyes as sparks roll up his spine. He settles his legs around Merlin's hips, his arms looped loosely around Merlin's neck for the time being. It's comfortable, easy. They'd done it many times before. Merlin's on his elbows over him, his hands curling over Arthur's shoulders as he brushes his nose against its counterpart. For the moment, there's only breathing to be heard. Oh my god. Arthur. Arthur blinks, his eyes open at the prompting, brow furrowing as he finds Merlin looking back with something like desperation. Or worry? No. Shock, perhaps. I'm in love with you. Suddenly, Arthur's eyes sting like mad, his temper flaring. Are you kidding me? Arthur? Arthur shoves his face up against Merlin's neck, cheeks suddenly wet as he wraps himself tighter around the imbecile. You Arthur, obtuse moron! I'm going to punch your lights out! He sobs, Merlin squirming and trying to peel away, eventually separating them enough to press their foreheads together as he squawks and makes a general unhelpful nuisance of himself, all while balls deep in a man he apparently loves. I'm going to pound you, you! He trails off, finding himself under an onslaught of kisses over his cheeks and forehead, tears still slipping by. Technically, I'm the one doing the pounding. Arthur actually slams his fist down on Merlin's shoulder for that, earning a wince and a rough chuckle. Okay, I deserve that. Sniffling, Arthur flops back, pulling his hands away so he could swipe his eyes, Merlin pushing up on his hands but not moving away fully like he'd expected. Is it all right? What? Is it all right? Merlin repeated, once Arthur was looking at him again. Merlin touched his cheek tentatively. That I'm in love with you, I mean. Arthur punches him in the arm that time, pushing the heels of his palms against his own eyes as Merlin made complaining sounds, shifting his hips solidly to get the further rise out of Arthur. You utter idiot. I was beginning to think it was just me. He pushes out, drawing his hands away but not daring to open his eyes for fear of losing his nerve. That I was really out of my mind, that I had fallen in love with the wrong person. Merlin lets go a laugh that sounds just so simply relieved that Arthur wants to hit him again for being so blind, for making him wait so long, for making him feel so scared. Instead, he just pulls him back down, kisses the daylights out of him as he digs his heels into Merlin's skinny behind, urging him to move. I love you, he says outright as Merlin pulls away, starting a slow tempo for them as he smooths his hand over Arthur's shoulder again, their foreheads resting together. I love you so much. I love you too. After that, they let their bodies do the talking, their languid pace making Arthur quake and moan, Merlin gasping loudly as they come together and embrace each other tightly. Does this mean I get some closet space now? Merlin just laughs, burying his face in the crook of his neck.
You've just finished listening to Casual Closeness by Cream Moon, adapted and performed by Momotastic.
Thanks to Cream Moon for giving Blanket permission to podfic. If you'd like to leave some feedback for the author, please find them on AO3. If you'd like to leave me some feedback, please also find me on AO3 as MomoPods or anywhere else as either Momotastic or Momotastic27. The song used for scene breaks is Can't Get You Out of My Head by Kylie Minogue. This podfic was recorded in May 2019 for the Bottom of the Fest, as well as for Podfic Bingo and the Squares Lower Vocal Range and Try an Accent. And now for some reader free talk. Hello! This is another quick project I created kinda last minute because I wanted to have something to contribute to the Bottom Author Fest in the Merlin fandom, but wasn't really up to writing something myself this year. And I picked this story in the end because I kinda love the seemingly one-sided pining fakes where they are already fuck buddies and one of them wants more but the other one apparently doesn't, while also secretly wanting more. Plus, messaging, which means I get to play with sound effects, which, as you should probably know by now, I love doing. I took two creative liberties with this story. One was to substitute some of the epithets with the names of the characters, and the other was to fudge the tenses a little, because I think that the same thing that always happens to me when I write happened to Moon, which is she switched tenses around a little bit. And I hope you'll forgive me, Moon. I think that, yeah, I mostly did it towards the end in like the last scene when I felt like, no, this should be present tense because the rest of the fic was present tense except for like flashbacks. Yeah, so there we are. As for the rest of the recording, I think I know the Merlin characters well enough now to have their voices down, except for Gwen. I don't have any idea if Gwen's voice sounds anything like an actual accent that exists. And I can't even tell you what accent I'm going for. Probably vaguely Irish? I'm really sorry if that's offensive to actual Irish people. I'm honestly just trying to give him a bit of a unique voice without straining myself too much. The song this time was a relatively easy pick. I asked Moon for suggestions, and the ones they came up with were alright, but not perfect, which Moon herself admitted. And then I went through my own music library, and this song, Can't Get You Out of My Head, just looked at me. I was like, honestly? That should work. And then I looked at the lyrics and was like, that definitely works. And I had really wanted to use the cover version by Alex Simpson. It's a very short version, and apparently there is no longer version of this either. And it's basically only the most famous bits, which is the chorus, like la la la, la 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 la, and then the whole can't get you out of my head part. At nothing of the actual verses and just, you know, a bit of instrumental, the whole la 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 thing and can't get you out of my head like two or three times. And it's just, that's not long enough. And also, the rest of the lyrics of the actual song really do fit the story, I believe. And since there are about a dozen scene breaks in this story, I really wanted to use more of the song. And so I ended up going with the original by Kylie Minogue. Also, I want to point out there is a very nice cover by Glimmer of Blooms, but which is also a, well, male sounding person singing the song, and it's a bit slower, a bit more melancholy, which would have also fit the story in my opinion. But this person changed the lyrics to make the whole song straight again, so instead of boy, you're all I think about is girl, you're all I think about. And I'm just like, no. If I have a male cover, I don't want the pronouns of the object of desire to be changed. It should be gay. So I didn't use that one. Anyway, you can check both of these out on either YouTube or Spotify. I highly encourage you to definitely check out the version by Alex Simpson because it's a bit more club music-like, and yeah, it really would have fit the story. But like I said, much too short. And that's all I wanted to say about this project. I hope you enjoyed it, and please don't forget to leave some feedback. I hope I'll be talking to you soon. Bye!